Welcome to the second. Okay. Welcome to the second half of episode 4 in the 2024 Steve Chong Show, part of Open Mic on CJSF 90.1 FM, the campus community radio station for Simon Fraser University. There will be a feature on the SFU Red Leafs hockey, along with the latest on the Surrey police transition. Now I'd like to shift gears to the SFU Red Leafs hockey at this time. The BCIHO SFU Red Leafs hosted the University of Victoria Vikes at Burnaby's Bill Copeland on January 20th. The visitors stormed the hosts right out of the gate as they pelted the SFU backstop Cooper Giesbrecht, who kept the game scoreless. SFU earned their first power play at 6:19 into the game, as the UVic captain Dan Gattenby was penalized for hooking. The Red Leafs opened the scoring 78 seconds into the man advantage, as Owen Thibodeau beat the Vikes backstop Sean Parkinson at 7:37 in the first. UVic almost tied the game late in the first, as a shot hit the crossbar as SFU entered the first intermission up 1-0, with UVic holding an 11-9 shot advantage. The game got very chippy in the second period as physical play ramped up, and the Vikes dominated Red Leafs with a 14-4 shot advantage, where one shot hit the right post, and the SFU backstop Cooper Giesbrecht held up the 1-0 score with many shots against limited to perimeter. SFU's lone scorer Owen Thibodeau was ejected from the game for gross misconduct at the end of period 2. While physical play went down in the third, UVic still had an edge in shots, but SFU prevented grade A chances. The Red Leafs doubled their lead with 4:31 left in regulation as Hayden Yan eluded Vikes Sean Parkinson, as SFU captain Nick Wagner earned his second assist of the night, and Cooper Giesbrecht made sure the two-goal cushion stood up against UVic as the Red Leafs blanked the Vikes 2-0, despite getting outshot 11-7 in the third and 36-20 for the game. Hi, it's Steve Chong. Today is January 20th, 2024. I'm in the head coach's room in the SFU Red Leafs hockey's dressing room, and I'm interviewing
Art Source,
the head coach for the SFU BCIHO Red Leafs, who blanked the UVic Vikes 2-0 at Burnaby's Bill Copeland. First of all, what was said after last night's embarrassing 5-0 loss to the BCIHO leading Vancouver Island University Mariners, where the Red Leafs were destroyed 5-0?
Yeah, well, you said it right there. I mean, it was an embarrassing effort amongst the whole team, not just a few players. The whole team just didn't show up to play that game. And it was a struggle to watch. It was tough to watch as a coach. You can't really do much on the ice. But I think the guys tonight pulled it together. We talked about, accountability and being teammates and being part as one and playing as one. I think we were too individual last game, trying to do too much, and as a result, we got embarrassed. We didn't play as a team.
Tell me your vantage point of the opening goal scored by Thibodeau in the first.
So, I mean, it was a power play goal, and we talked about just getting the puck to the net. Usually when you're struggling, you just want to kind of throw the puck at the net and go at it and try to pick up a rebound, and that's exactly what it was. I mean, it was nothing fancy, but we had guys at the net, and, sometimes having a goal go in like that sets you kind of on the right foot. You can't always be looking for that fancy goal. And, just by getting the puck on net, getting close to net, we were able to pop one in.
How big was the momentum shift when Thibodeau, who scored the opener, was ejected from the game in the second?
Yeah, I mean, that's always kind of a downer. I mean, he started off the game really really strong, and obviously as a result he got a goal, and he's, you know, he was playing well up until that point where he got ejected. And you know, for a second there you can see kind of the momentum change a little bit, but you know, trying to keep the guys on track. I think today they were more focused, they had their heads in the game, and they kind of dealt with the situation and just moved on from there, and you know, continue to work hard and press like we've been known to do. Just keep up with that solid work, that effort, and that ethic, and just, you know, keeping that pressure on their team.
Explain Cooper Giesbrecht's shutout performance tonight.
I mean, there's no question. Giesbrecht is one of the best goalies in this league. I mean, sometimes our score doesn't show it, but the saves he's making, honestly, it's hard to believe sometimes with the saves that he makes. But you know, he's making the effort. He's a leader in the dressing room. He leads through example. He's stopping the first, second, third shot, and you know, he probably shouldn't have to make those saves, but he is, and you know, we're very thankful to have him on our team, and he makes a huge difference on and off the ice.
How did you feel late in the third, right after Jan scored the second goal?
I mean, that was a huge goal. Like, that 1-0, you know, pretty much the whole game, it could be pretty nerve-wracking. And, you know, getting that second goal was a bit of a relief, although, you know, we still had work to do. It was definitely a relief. It took some pressure off the guys. And I think the guys, as a result, showed up and, you know, and ended the game on a strong note. And, you know, they really got behind that goal and really kind of felt an end to the game and kind of saw it through.
Finally, what do the Red Leafs have to do next Friday when you face the very same UVic Vikes, this time at Ian Stewart Complex?
Yeah, I mean, obviously losing to us is, they probably took that pretty hard, and they're going to be coming out, they're going to be ready for us the next game, and we got to show up and bring the same effort that we brought tonight, the same discipline. We got to make sure that guys are ready to go, and I think with our leadership group, the guys should be ready to go. I think we talked about, you know, before the game, you know, I brought in every single line, I talked to each line individually, and I talked about their goals, this game and their job to do, and everyone executed the job. And you know, I think they're starting to see kind of the results of, you know, what we're showing them, what we're teaching them. And if they stick to the game plan, you know, they'll start to see success. One thing I think we need to try and bring is probably more consistency throughout. I think that's going to be key. And you know, sometimes we're high, sometimes we're low. But bringing more of a level playing and being more consistent game in and game out, I think will be that's going to be our challenge and what we need to bring. So.
Thanks for the interview tonight, and congratulations on SFU's 2-0 win over UVic.
Awesome. Thank you very much.
Hi, once again, it's Steve Chong. I'm still in the head coach's room of the SFU Red Leafs hockey team's locker room, and I'm interviewing
Cooper Giesbrecht,
the starter for SFU Red Leafs, and tonight's first star as the Red Leafs blanked UVic Vikes 2-0 despite getting outshot 36-20. First of all, what was said before tonight, especially after the Red Leafs 5-0 loss to the league-leading Vancouver Island University Mariners last night, also at Bell Copeland?
Really what it came down to is something had to change. You know, we can't keep getting embarrassed like that, so it was really, really about getting things back together. You know, bringing our A game and making sure that we were battling and taking that second step. You know, we weren't stopping after one try, whether it be a rebound or chasing after the puck or even a shot on net. We just put a little bit more effort forward and in a better way. We played a little bit smarter, so there's just less energy expelled, and you know, it was a more successful day for every detail.
How did SFU survive a lot of UVic's sieges inside the Red Leafs blue line?
I think we did a better job at pushing them to the outside. You know, the guys helped me out today and made sure that if there was a second attempt for a shot, that they either got a stick on it or, you know, got a body on it. And just in general, getting more of their body or stick on the puck from the point and giving it clear lane. You know, just it helps me out and it makes it that much easier. So I think that was the biggest part.
In the first period, after Thibodeau put the Red Leafs up 1-0, Juvik fired the puck off the crossbar. Tell me your vantage point.
You know what, it moves by pretty quick. Not sure which exact time that was, but you know, every once in a while they get close. As long as it doesn't go on the net, then that's good for me.
In the second period, where I felt Juvik dominated, there was another post behind your right side. How did you feel about that sequence?
You know, it's never ideal to have it go anywhere remotely near the net off of a shot that's not saved. But the post had my back a little bit on that one. But then again, like, you know, you can only do so much, and if it's hitting the post, it wasn't going in anyway for the most part. So I'm glad it hit the post and went out, but I think it was just a matter of, you know, clearing up the scrums and making sure that there wasn't those repeated attacks, because that's where it starts to get a little bit jumpy and you have those things that happen.
How much relief did you feel when Jan put the Red Leafs up 2-0 late in the third?
It was certainly a nice thing to see, but to be honest with you, it wouldn't matter if it was 1-0 or 10-0. It wouldn't have changed my mindset. I mean, at the end of the day, I'm here to just battle as much as I can, and what the score is, that doesn't matter, as long as we're putting our best effort forward. So, and I think we did that today.
Now I'd like to delve into your hockey journey. When did you start the game?
I think my first time putting on skates was probably age 4.
When was the first time you made a rep or a travel team?
I played rep in Pee Wee, I guess would have been my first year. I played for an A2 team at that point. But other than that, this is the first team that I've actually had to travel a decent amount. So it's been pretty cool.
When did you become a goalie?
I turned over to goalie in Adam's second year, I think, was when I fully made the switch. Because we would just do, you know, everyone kid would get a turn at it, and I just so happened to always want a turn at it, so stuck with it.
What is the age group for Pee Wee and Adam?
It's probably around 10, maybe 10, 11, a little bit younger, somewhere in there.
Okay.
I think Pee Wee gets a bit higher, but...
Oh, Pee Wee is still...
Pee Wee has... Well, most of them have 2 years. So you got, okay, like, Adam first year, second year. But the whole thing's changed now. They got U numbers, like U12 and all that stuff, so...
Okay.
Yeah.
Which team did you play last before coming to the SFU Red Leafs?
So last year, I played for the Abbotsford Pilots. Went to them because the year prior I didn't play hockey from an injury. I had a good relationship with them, and they were nice enough and you know, nice enough to give me an opportunity and see what I could do. So.
So I guess you're year 1 of eligibility.
Yep.
What is your current age?
I'm 21.
Finally, what would you like to accomplish with the SFU Red Leafs BCIHL team?
I want to take it as far as we can go. I mean, I think tonight was a good showcase of what we can do if we, you know, all push together. And I think there's still a lot of work to be done. But, I mean, the goal is to repeat what they've done years and years and win the whole thing. So, you know, we got a long way to go, but, you know, I wouldn't really have it any other way. There's nothing like battling for an underdog story and for a victory. So, at the end of the day, yeah, winning it all, that's the goal.
thanks for the interview tonight. And congratulations on being the first star and the 2-0 shutout over the UVic Vikes.
Thank you very much.
The SFU-BCIHO Red Leafs were in action early today as the makeup for the January 12th game at Ian Stewart Complex due to a maintenance issue at West Hills Arena in Langford, BC, where they fell to the very same UVic Vikes 4-1. Here are the current BCIHO standings, which may not be current. 2 points are awarded for a win, with 1 point for an OTR shootout loss. Vancouver Island University is first at 11-3, 22 points. University of Victoria, second, 8-4-1, 17 points. Okanagan Lakers, 6-5-1, 13 points. Simon Fraser is listed at 5-5-1, 11 points, while I counted as 6-6, 6-6-1, 13 points. And Logan Lake Miners are last at 1-11, 2 points. Now I'd like to talk about the Surrey Police transition at this time. It has been a very polarizing issue for Surrey, the second largest and fastest growing city in British Columbia, for over the last 5 years. The then Mayor Doug McCallum pursued a Surrey Police Service, which was approved by the BC government in 2020. Fast forward to 2022, Brenda Locke, who campaigned to stop the Surrey Police Service, became the mayor by beating McCallum with less than 1,000 votes on October 15, 2022. However, Mike Farnworth, BC's Minister of Public Safety and Solicitor General, ordered Surrey City to continue with the Surrey Police Service on July 19, 2023. However, Locke hasn't given up her fight to keep the Surrey RCMP. On October 13th, Surrey filed a petition to the BC Supreme Court for a judicial review of the BC government's decision. The BC government responded on October 16th. As Mike Farnworth, BC's Minister of Public Safety and Solicitor General, tabled a legislation in the BC Legislature in Victoria, which are amendments to the BC Police Act, i.e. Bill C-36-2023, Police Amendment Act 2023, where a key change is municipalities need to complete police transition plans approved by the Ministry of Public Safety and Solicitor General, which directly targets Surrey. On October 25th, the BC Police Amendment Act passed a third reading, with 56 voting for and 27 against. One day later, BC's Police Amendment Act became law after it received royal assent, as BC's Lieutenant Governor Janet Austin approved the law on October 26th. On November 16th, Mike Farnworth, BC's Minister of Public Safety and Solicitor General, appointed Mike Sir, the former Abbotsford Police Chief who retired last fall, as the administrator of the Surrey Police Board, suspended all 8 members of the Surrey Police Board, and removed Brenda Locke, the Surrey Mayor, as the SPB Chair. Surrey launched its second petition on November 20th, this time challenging if the BC Police Amendment Act 2023 is constitutional. 10 days later, on November 30th, Mike Sir, the administrator of the Surrey Police Board, in the first meeting as the SPB administrator, said he approved a provisional budget for the Surrey Police Service in 2024, which he forwarded to the Surrey Mayor Brenda Locke and council the same day. On December 11th, Jas Johal, a show host for CKNW, tweeted a picture of a Patterson billboard between 60th Avenue and 176th Street, blasting the Surrey Police Service with the slogan, NDP Police Transition Will Cost You More, with the last 4 words in capital letters. On the middle are 3 claims. A, $466 million over the next 10 years. B, massive double-digit tax increase. And C, less for schools, health, and transit. At the bottom of the sign, it says, find more at ndpsurreytax.ca and paid for by the City of Surrey, which explicitly states the Mayor Locke and her council, led by her Surrey Connect, are using the Surrey taxpayers' money for their crusade to keep the Surrey RCMP, despite talks across Canada to get the RCMP out of contract policing. On December 12th, Janet Brown of Global News reported that Surrey is spending around $500,000 for its educational campaign against the Surrey Police Service, according to the Surrey Mayor Brenda Locke, who added the campaign pales in comparison to transitioning from the Surrey RCMP to SPS. On January 11th, The Surrey Police Union revealed that Surrey City rejected paying 10 recruits, which drew a sharp rebuke from the BC Premier David Eby, as the city cited the SPS went over budget, according to its lawyer Peter German, which has forced the Surrey Police Union to pay them, also drew condemnation from Save Surrey Coalition councillors Doug Elford, Mandeep Nagra, along with Linda Annis from Surrey First, according to Bo Simpson of Surrey Now Leader. The next day, on January 12th, Mike Farnworth, BC's Public Safety Minister and Solicitor General, came on CKNW's Simi Sera show and alleged Surrey underspent more than $80 million in their transition reserve fund in their last third quarter financials and stopped playing games. Surrey and SPB traded barbs on January 16th as the mayor locked publicized on the city website that the SPS went over budget as it spent $75.4 million in 2023, a budget overrun of $26.7 million, including 100 officers not on the front line, justified the city's refusal to pay 10 officers last month, as civic budgets cannot run deficits, and trashed the BC NDP government for imposing the expensive Surrey Police Service to the residents. The Surrey Police Board countered on the same day, on January 16, 2024, as the SPB Administrator Mike Sir claimed the following. Surrey Police Service make 30% of officers deployed to keep Surrey safe. The SPB, with Locke as its chair, submitted the SPS 2023 original budget of $157.6 million to Surrey City. But the city slashed the SPS budget by 70% to $48.8 million as Surrey planned to kill the SPS and keep the Surrey RCMP. And after Minister Farnworth's decision in 2023, the SPS and city officials agreed to a $75 million budget for the SPS in 2023, but Mayor Locke rejected the revised 2023 budget. The Surrey Police Union also chimed in against Locke's claims in their own press release, as the SPU president Rick Stewart wrote that Surrey's 2023 police budget assumed the following. The Surrey RCMP would remain the police of jurisdiction, and the SPS would last until July 2023. But even after Minister Farnworth ordered Surrey to continue with the policing transition, Surrey City refused to adjust the budget. Furthermore, Stewart pointed out that Surrey's 2023 third quarter financial report had a policing surplus of $19 million on top of $83 million for severance had the SPS dissolved, being allocated for future expenses, which has ballooned Surrey's policing surplus to a total of $102 million with a $330 million budget. On January 17th, Linda Annis of Surrey First claimed the following in a press release. As the Surrey Council rejected the revised SPS budget, the third quarter showed a $27 million variance for the RCMP, but the SPS had a negative variance of $23.4 million, thus a positive overall variance of around $4 million, according to Tom Zitarek of Surrey Now Leader. On January 19th, Mike Farnworth, BC's Public Safety Minister and Solicitor General, visited some Surrey Police Service officers when the Surrey Police Board had their latest meeting, where Kyle Friedson, the SPS in-house lawyer, claimed a petition which Surrey has filed to in the BC Supreme Court does not stop the transition, just as Kevin Liu was assigned on January 4th. None of the SPS, RCMP, MPF, and SPU are parties to the petition, but it's the city, Surrey, against BC's Attorney General, Nikki Sharma, and the Minister of Public Safety and Solicitor General, Mike Farnworth. Furthermore, Friesen added the review standard for a judicial review is not correct decision, but if it's a reasonable decision by the minister and the director of police services, which is Glenn Lewis, according to Tom Zitarek of the Surrey Now Leader on January 22nd. The next day, on January 23rd, the Surrey Police Service tweeted a link about its 2023 expenditures up to November 30th, which was revealed during the Surrey Police Board meeting 4 days prior, at just under $66 million. On January 25th, Mike Sir, the Surrey Police Board's administrator, released the SPS 2024 budget in a press conference, which was submitted to Surrey City on November 30th, 2023. With the SPS having 215 officers currently deployed, $141.5 million were requested, which is 42% of the policing funds available, at a total of $337 million. 480 officers, which would increase the total of SPS officers to 526. 67% of all Surrey police officers by the end of 2024, with Surrey's targeted number at 785. The SPS budget numbers were developed with Jessica McDonald, Strategic Implementation Advisor, and Deloitte, an independent accounting firm, assume the Surrey RCMP will ramp down. Mike Farnworth, BC's Public Safety Minister and Solicitor General, during a press conference later on, where he said if Surrey doesn't agree, the Director of Police Services will make a decision based on submissions from the city and police. The Surrey Mayor Bundalock responded later on yesterday, as she claimed the suggestion that the transition would go forward without residents being forced to pay more is disingenuous and exposes lack of knowledge and due diligence by the NDP government, according to her press release on the Surrey City website. She also chimed in more today, claiming that police, like all city departments, need to get in line for budget asks, according to Tom Sitaruk of Black Press Media, which has Surrey Now Leader and Cloverdale Reporter, which is where I'm looking at this article on. So, Brenda Locke, as I'm reading the article, claims she has no idea why I called that meeting yesterday. Same budget they gave the Surrey City Council in November. And apparently Surrey Council don't do anything independently of another. And just like any other city, they're going through their own budgeting process. And they can come to at the public hearing if they choose. Once again, $141.5 million were asked for 180 officers. However, it's currently costing Surrey taxpayers $8 million per month to keep the RCMP and SPS running at the same time. However, one of the reasons why BC government rejected Surrey's plans to keep the Surrey RCMP were due to almost 1,500 BC RCMP vacancies, with Surrey being open to prioritizing its RCMP detachment over others, which includes the Burnaby RCMP. Thank you for listening to Episode 4 of the Steve Chong Show in 2024, part of Open Mic on CJSF 90.1 FM, the campus community radio station for Simon Fraser University. I'm your host, Steve Chong. Coming up at 4, it is Voice of the North.
CJSF 90.1, live from Burnaby.